Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
In the King James Version, 2 Chronicles 16:9 says this. Let me just press this way first. And Lord, give us ears to hear what you want to say to us. And you don't have to raise your hands. This isn't class, but I mean, how many of you really want to see God move in your life in profound ways that can only be explained in terms of it being God?
Amen.
That's pretty cool, huh? I mean, I think that every serious Christian, even semi-serious Christian, they would say that. They would want to put themselves in position where God would demonstrate his activity, his favor in their life in supernatural ways, okay? Well, there's a verse that makes it really simple, and that's 2 Chronicles 16:9. 2 Chronicles 16:9 in the King James Version says, now listen to what it says, it's remarkable about God's hungry heart. The eyes of God run to and fro. It's the only place in Scripture where it talks about God running. The eyes of God run to and fro, looking for anyone's heart who's perfect towards him, that he might show himself strong on their behalf. Wow. So it says a couple of things. One, I don't like to use the word desperate, because God's never desperate in that sense. But Paul, by the Holy Spirit prompted Paul in Romans chapter 12 to say, I urge you therefore, brethren, in light of the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service of worship. Be not conformed to this world. That's how, that first verse is about total surrender. Second verse is about how that surrender does work out on a daily basis. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove that God's will is good and perfect and acceptable in your life. So the word urge there in verse 1 in the King James is, I beg you therefore, brethren. Because that's what that's the strongest word that can be used for begging. So God's not a beggar, but he is a lover. And there have been times when I know parents have begged their children not to do certain things because they knew that the result would be disastrous for them, that their choices were self-destructive. And so out of love, they pleaded with them. That'd be a good word. They pleaded with them, don't do this. I remember years ago, and I was blessed for both my boys to just never went off the reservation, really. But Luke was going to go to Auburn to celebrate somebody's birthday. I forget where it was. And I rarely ever tell my kids, don't do something like that. But I had a real trouble in my heart about him going. There was just something not right about it. And I remember sitting down with him and said, Luke, I just don't feel good about you going. And so he didn't like get mad or anything. He was like, Dad, now this is so-and-so's birthday. And I need to go. And I said, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know why I feel this way. I just feel like really strongly that you shouldn't do it. I said, I'm not going to tell you that you can't do it. He was old enough to where I said, but I'm just telling you. And he said, okay, you've never done this before. And so there must be a reason I'm not supposed to go. And that was love. And God's love pleads us to live a surrendered life. And so when the eyes of God run to and fro, there's a sense of urgency. There's a sense of longing. This almost has a desperation to it. God's eyes are just darting back and forth, looking to and fro for anyone. He didn't say anyone who's got perfect theology, anyone who's got enough education, anyone who has enough clout financially or socially, anyone who's had a perfect walk, because there'd be no such thing. You understand that, right? But the eyes of God are running to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for anyone whose heart is perfect towards him, that he might show himself strong on their behalf. Wow. God's wanting to show himself strong on behalf of people. That's a pretty amazing statement. And for God to show himself strong, that's strong. It's not like, hey, Rick, I want to come over. Ricky, I want to come over and help you move those bricks. I'm going to show myself strong on your behalf. After about 3 or 4 bricks, Ricky would say, okay, now just go over and sit down and watch me do the bricks, because that wouldn't be much help. But for God to show himself strong on our behalf means he wants to demonstrate his supernatural favor on my life, not just in a moment, but as a way of, as part of my life experience, continual life experience. So that tells me that God's not reluctant. A lot of Christians think that God's reluctant to show himself strong on behalf, and you have to jump through a bunch of hoops to get there. Like you got to pray enough or fast enough or do this enough or read your Bible enough or whatever enough. And then if you kind of almost like earn, but God says there's only one criteria he's looking for. It's a heart that's perfect towards him. Now, I like the way the New American Standard says it, which is a better translation. I love the King James. I love what it says. But what that literally means, the New American Standard says, the eyes of God run to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for anyone whose heart is completely his, that he might show himself strong on their behalf. He said, well, I mean, my heart's completely his. And a heart that's completely his isn't just one that Romans 12:1 has made that decision. I've presented my life as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, but is now committed to walking that out daily. Be not conformed to this world, how the world thinks, what the world says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What does that mean to be transformed by the renewing of your mind? That on a daily basis, you're increasingly committed to living from the mind of Christ. You're committed to be in agreement with the mind of Christ and to live from the mind of Christ. That's what surrender looks like. So when we say things like, Jesus doesn't cop attitudes, ever. To have a heart that's completely his means that even though that may happen to you occasionally, you don't try to excuse it. That's being conformed to this world. That's the way the world lives. So we think being conformed to the world means, you know, you want to do drugs or want to just party. No, the way the world, lost people do things. Oh, I have an excuse for my attitude, or I have an excuse for whatever. Well, Jesus doesn't do attitudes, ever. And if Jesus doesn't do attitudes, a heart that's perfect towards him at least has come to the place where it says, I am committed to living this out, knowing that attitudes aren't a right that I have. If your heart is completely his, then you no longer have any heart rights. They're all his. You don't get to make the final decision about your future, about your relationships, about how you spend your time and how you spend your money, because it's no longer yours, it's his. You've been bought with a price. It's a pretty high price. And if I buy something and it's mine, it now belongs to me. You know, if I buy a hammer and the hammer starts arguing with me how I can use it, we got troubles here. Yeah. The eyes of God run to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for anyone whose heart is completely his, that he might show himself strong on their behalf, or a heart that's perfect towards him. There's one person in the Bible where it says, it's not the only person it's true about, but God made a point of saying something about their heart towards him. You know who that I'm talking about? David. It says he had a heart after God. But I don't know very few people personally who blew it as bad as David blew it. You know what I'm saying? Like he committed adultery and then had the wife's husband was his best friend, was his general, was out doing battle to protect David's skin and David's kingdom, and David has him killed. That's pretty big stuff. And yet God says about him that he had a heart after God. Now, am I telling you that it's okay to go do stuff like that? Absolutely not. David paid some terrible prices for that. I mean, it really messed up his family really bad. But that happened in his 40s. At 60 years old, David says, this one thing I ask that I shall seek, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the day and behold his beauty all the days of my life. That's when he was many years later. So he messed up really bad. And yet, God's found something about him. And Acts 13:22 says this, that David was a man after God's own heart because he was willing to do all of God's will. What? Jesus sits on the throne of David forever. He's not ashamed to identify with this guy who failed so badly. There was something about a person who blows it, and if their heart's not in the right place, there seems to be a lot of not good fun consequences. But those that are permanent, but those who blow it, who there are consequences, but they don't seem to last forever. God can still do something with them profoundly because they have a heart after him. amazing thing to say that David was willing to do all of God's will, but he didn't always do it. But he wanted to. You with me? A heart that's perfect towards God doesn't always get it right, but it makes no excuses for getting it wrong. When David blew it, in Psalm 51 was his testimony, Lord, against you and you alone have I sinned. He didn't use his personality as an excuse, you know, or the circumstances. He just blew it. So this thing of repentance is a big part of surrender, of a perfect heart. And so I'm just saying to you, I was just in a situation recently, I was talking to somebody not from here, and they had gotten a prophetic word years ago, and they had this thing in their heart that God had told them they were going to do. Then they got a prophetic word, and the prophetic word, and the person didn't know anything about what they were wanting to do, and gave them a word that was exactly that thing, and it didn't come to pass. And they were being honest with a group of other men, leaders, saying, I just have struggled ever since then about just trusting prophetic stuff, and I don't want to be that way. That's a heart that's perfect towards God. And so we were able to help answer some questions, and I said, you know what? God so honors. He's going to so honor the fact that you cared, that you want to do his will, even though you got confused, that you want, it matters to you. So I would just encourage you. Unfortunately, we all blow it from time to time. We don't have to, but we do. Don't excuse it. It's not their fault. It's not that fault. I don't care what they said to you. I don't care what they didn't say to you. You know, God will even use their failure to keep pointing out this thing in your mind, your heart. You have got to come to grips with this and surrender this thing to me and be committed to never doing that again. Yeah, but what if I do it again? That's okay. Be committed to never doing it again. A heart perfect towards him. A heart that's completely his. Because that kind of person who doesn't make excuses, who will own their stuff, and whose great passion in life is to live a surrendered life on a daily basis, God said he promises that you're just who he's looking for, and he will demonstrate in supernatural ways his favor in your life as part of your lifestyle. Yeah. It's just so simple, isn't it? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.